Welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. And it's my pleasure to welcome to the program today, Thea Obrecht. Her novel is The Tiger's Wife. She joins us by telephone from Ithaca, New York. Welcome to the program, Thea.
Thank you very much.
Thea, I was so excited when I had the opportunity to arrange an interview with you because I really love this book, and I'm very thrilled to actually be able to talk to you about it. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You have a very interesting background.
I guess so. I was born in former Yugoslavia, and we left when I was 7 years old in 1992, just before the war started, just as the war was beginning. And we moved to Cyprus and then Egypt, where I had a pretty magical and surreal kind of childhood in terms of being exposed to history and folklore and myth and all this wonderful stuff that I cherish very much in terms of childhood memories. And then we moved to the States in 97 when I was 12.
And I'm guessing that you had some storytellers in your family.
I did. Pretty much everybody who raised me, my mom and my grandparents, were all storytellers, and I spent lots of time with my grandfather and a lot of time with my grandmother as well, and they had led these fascinating lives almost out of another world, and they would talk about their lives. If you were quiet for a little while and you let them get there, they would start to talk about the past and their lives, and I think that among other things really developed my interest in storytelling, which led to my interest in writing, for sure.
Your grandfather was an engineer. What kind of engineer was he?
He made planes. He was an aviation engineer.
Wow.
Yeah, and it took him sort of all over the world, all over Africa and the Middle East and Europe as well. It was he had a pretty fascinating life.
Were these war planes?
They were. I think that my understanding of what he did for in terms of engineering came a lot from my own fear of flying and from the many conversations we had about why turbulence cannot cause a plane to crash, which he would explain to me in vivid detail, which would, you know, all vanish the moment I got on a plane. But I think that he built all kinds of planes.
Thea Obrecht joins us. Her novel is The Tiger's Wife. I understand this began as a short story.
It did. It was, and it was not the short story that was later published in The New Yorker, which was excerpted from the novel after the fact. But the short story that it began as was very poorly received in workshop. It was a very basic small sketch of a village life in which an escaped tiger terrorizes a village, and a young deaf mute circus performer to whom the tiger belongs arrives to intervene. And something about the girl and the tiger stuck with me, and I stuck with the story, and it turned into this huge project that ended up being the novel.
So you had that thread, The Tiger's Wife, and then you had these other threads that seemed unrelated, but somehow they merged.
They did, and in my mind, in the beginning, they were in some ways three separate projects. I had the Deathless Man thread, which is about this traveler, this vagabond who is ostensibly unable to die, and he had been a minor character in some stories that I had previously played with, but that had never gone anywhere, and he was sort of on the shelf. And my own grandfather had died, and that was something that I was beginning to explore in my writing, and it turned out that all three were part of the same story, and together they were really the whole.
So you've written this book where you're telling a story, and it's a book about storytelling, and it's a book about a book, right?
Yes, I guess, yeah, when you put it like that, absolutely.
Yeah, I love The Deathless Man.
Thank you.
That guy, I could read about him all year long. What an amazing character.
Well, thank you.
I love that when he's introduced and he's in the coffin. Give me some water. I love that.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
I laughed. Every time he turns up, I mean, it's bad news, but he's funny in his own way.
I'm glad to hear that. I think that part of that came from, you know, I was dealing with these issues and themes which were very difficult for me to process, especially the necessity of death, sort of the cultural necessity of death, and it was and that is something that the deathless man archetype, which exists in several cultures and the folklore of several cultures, German and Slavic as well, that's a story that touches on that. And I intended him to be a pretty sinister character because it's never good news when he shows up. But the more time I spent with the character and the more I worked on him, the more comforting he somehow became to me, and it became comforting to spend time with him as a character. And I think that somehow comedy played a huge role in that. So I'm glad to hear you say that. I'm happy.
Your other major thread, the one of the title, The Tiger's Wife, this story is very otherworldly. I didn't feel as comfortable with it because it was so strange. I loved it. It's fascinating, but it's just so unbelievable as far as, wow, this is just like mystical stuff going on here.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying here?
No, I think I do.
Okay.
And I think that one of the things that the book ended up being about, because to some degree what I learned in writing this novel is to tolerate it when your work runs away with itself and when things just happen on the page and they work and whatever your ideas of artistic control are, you just go with it. I think that one of the things that I ended up dealing with in the novel is the line between myth and reality, and when that line becomes obscured and when it failed to matter whether or not something is myth or reality. And I think that's where that feel comes from, maybe.
We are recording this interview before the publication date, and I see that your publisher is sending you out on book tour. This is your first book.
Yes.
Is there a sense of trepidation, excitement? What's your feeling about going out into the world with this?
You know, I'm really excited, and it's just been everything about the journey of this book has just been incredible and in many ways unbelievable to me, because when it sold, I was just thrilled that somebody wanted to read it, that somebody somewhere had read it and thought that it was worth something. And now, you know, now it's here. The publication date is, you know, a couple of days away, and the tour is starting. And in some ways, it's very, you know, being out in the world is very counterintuitive to what you do as a writer, which is sit in a room by yourself for many, many hours, for many, many days on end, and you know, not come out until the work is done. But I'm really thrilled at this aspect of it. I can't believe it's happening. Me.
Well, I think it's wonderful. The book is The Tiger's Wife. Thea Obrecht wrote it. She joins us today in the Book Nook. And this grandfather in your story, he's really just an amazing, compelling character. He's the one who told the stories originally to his granddaughter, and then she is remembering them and retelling them. And ever since he was a boy in a little village in the Balkans, he's carried around this book, and it's like it's a talisman in a way, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
And it's a book with a tiger in it.
Yes, it's the Jungle Book,
uh-huh.
And he carries it around with sort of somebody said to me with almost biblical the book has almost biblical importance to him, and I think that's something that very much happens to people, that these books that you're reading at a certain time in your life or books that are present in your life become relics of your life. And that turned out to be, at first, the book, The Jungle Book, was a way for the grandfather as a child to know the tiger, but then it became very naturally something much more than that in the narrative.
And it's a book that the deathless man is very interested in.
Right.
I love that. I love it that he wants that book. that conversation just continues, doesn't it? Your grandfather and the deathless man. It's like when you meet the old friend and you haven't seen each other in years, and you just pick up right where you left off.
Yeah, it did end up being that way, and I think it had a lot to do with that book, because he wants the admission that comes with having that book.
Well, we'll leave it to your readers to learn more about the deathless man, but I couldn't wait for him to come back into the story. Whenever he came back, I was like, all right, here he is again.
I'm glad to hear it. Thank you.
The grandfather really is present as a memory in this book, because he passes away early in the story, and his granddaughter is remembering his stories, and she's searching for her grandfather. There's a 40-day period after the death. Can you explain what all that means?
Yeah, there's superstitions and sort of funerary traditions in the Balkans vary from family to family and region to region, but there's a long-standing one among people that I've known, that for 40 days after the death of a person, considered very bad form and very bad luck to move things around, because the soul, to move the belongings of the dead person around and to adjust the house in any way, because the soul is supposed to go on this journey, and those 40 days honor the soul. And it's during those 40 days that it's on the first or the second of those 40 days the book opens with that journey in mind, which I think, you know, has to do with him being present as a memory, very present as a memory.
And we have the shadow of war that looms over all of this. And with that shadow, we have the elephant that walks down the street in every war, and that is death.
Right. Right.
And she goes looking for the place where her grandfather reportedly died, and we get such a feeling of dread when she does that. You really make that an ominous section. We're really worried about her.
Thank you.
And then we have the shadow of death in the vineyard, where there's this mysterious excavation going on. This is all very intriguing as a reader. You're saying to yourself, no, what on earth is going on here? We're going to have to dig. We're going to have to excavate ourselves just to figure out what is happening.
Wow, well, thank you.
That's so fun as a reader. It's all very mysterious. Yeah.
I'm so glad to hear it.
Well, I certainly enjoyed it. The book is The Tiger's Wife. Taya Obrecht wrote it. What's the process for you? I know that you finished this book a few years ago.
Yeah. Well, the process for that book, which I'm trying to recreate now and trying to remember how I did it, was I wrote out of chronological order. I wrote the parts that I was most interested in first. Mm-hmm. Which I don't know whether or not that's bad form, but that for me was absolutely the tiger. And then those segments became the backbone around which the rest of the story formed. I finished the book in 2008, and it had already been through one round of edits by the time I went back to Serbia and Croatia in 2009 for a vampire hunting trip.
Mm-hmm.
For a nonfiction piece that I wrote for Harper's. And while I was there, I came to know a lot about village life. I went from door to door in some very small towns in both Serbia and Croatia, asking uncomfortable questions about the history of the town. And it really formed my understanding of that kind of life much more concretely. And I came back to the States and I took the book back and rewrote something like 100, 150 pages, completely new, even though it had been through a round of edits. So for me, the process, it was a learning process, and it kept going much longer than I thought it was going to. And when it was done, it wasn't done. So,
well, let's pretend for a moment that I live in a little village in Croatia, and you've just come up to my door, and you're about ready to ask me an uncomfortable question. What are you going to ask me?
What do I ask you?
Yeah, what do you say that's uncomfortable?
We hear that there's this myth about this village, and the village is very well known for the myth, whether it's the vampire or, you know, more in my book, The Tiger's Wife, and, you know, what can you tell me about it? And the general reception was either I'll come in and have drinks with us, and after a few drinks we'll tell you, or get off my stoop. Which was a common reaction by that, but there were some very kind people who were very willing to talk to us about these uncomfortable myths and these uncomfortable stories that, you know, that have this aura of shame to them, I think. Shame that people believed in them, shame that such and such a thing happened here. But people were willing to open up about it, which was very, very useful and great.
You also have a cameo appearance, in a way, by someone I think you call the Marshal. And I think anyone that reads the book will figure out who that person is. And I love that little appearance because the grandfather, who is a physician, gets a really wonderful little memento from that meeting, that chance meeting between he and the Marshal. And this particular memento, this is something that sort of lubricates the book, isn't it, this particular item?
To some degree, I guess,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Is that the kind of thing they would offer you when you would go door-to-door asking these questions? Is this the kind of thing that you would get?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, okay. Absolutely. Uh-huh. And we got and often it's homemade.
Uh-huh.
So it's with, you know, it has varying degrees of potency depending on where you go. So when you go door to door in one village like 6 or 7 times, by the end everybody's really happy to talk. And that's how it is. And but you've been served, you know, homemade rakia by everyone that you've met, and it's this great tradition of like you said, lubricated storytelling.
Is this a beverage that came out of the Ottoman Empire? Is this like raki, like they drink in Turkey?
Yeah, it's like raki, and it's you know, they drink variations of it in Greece too, and in other parts of the Balkans as well. It's a super distilled fermented fruit brandy, I guess, in some ways, and you can make it out of nuts as well, which, you know, it has a funny smell when you this walnut rakia, and it's really potent, and it can be used, you know, and it's often used as a cure-all. Like, people will wrap you in, when you have a high fever, people will wrap you in sheets soaked in it to evaporate your fever out, or, you know, it's used as an antiseptic for wounds, and it's really, yeah.
It's all-purpose.
Yeah.
Is it different from Schlibovitz?
No, that's pretty much what it is, except, like, 100 proof.
Gotcha. Okay. Thea Obrecht joins us. Her book is The Tiger's Wife. Speaking of tigers, you have a character in here who, he's sort of a peripheral character, but he's a famous hunter. He's a fun guy, too.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about this guy.
His name is Darisha the Bear, and he's a hunter and a taxidermist who travels the mountains every winter hunting bears. And his obsessions, as the story goes on, turn out to be very different than the obsessions of most hunters in some ways. And he was based on a man that I met in Moscow, actually, who sold bear pelts at this outdoor market. And it was just amazing to see them and him.
And then you have another character who also, you couldn't call him a taxidermist, but he definitely puts a lot of animals down, and he's a butcher, and he's a really odd guy.
He is, that's Luca, the butcher, and he's the husband of the girl who then becomes the tiger's wife. He is and was a fairly sinister character from the beginning, but in earlier drafts of the book, he was so much a villain that I spent a lot of time with him trying to see why he was what he was, and those sections with him came to be the way they are, sort of more forgiving in some ways, I guess.
You've rehabilitated him and given us a reason to pity him.
Well, thank you.
Of course, we'll leave all that to readers to figure out what that means, because I have to be careful with this sort of a book. I'm afraid I've already said too much. I hope I haven't.
Oh no, I think that's fine. I'm afraid that when you ask me a question, I'll launch immediately into a very explicit explanation, and I forget to leave stuff out. So.
I like the way you describe the way that you wrote it, because you had these things that you were just compelled to write, and then you, it was like putting together a puzzle. You tried to figure out, well, how do I make this work?
Yeah, and in some ways, what the part of the process that surprised me most was the lack of control that you realize that you end up realizing you have. It's very different when writing a short story and you see the whole picture, the whole puzzle, even if it is puzzle-like, you see the whole thing right away from beginning to end, and it's somehow smaller and more manageable. But in a novel, at least for me, sections will engage you as a writer in such a way that they end up being much bigger and much more significant than you thought they were going to be, and it's fun and incredible, and you learn so much about yourself and your process and the way you see your own writing while you're doing it. It's a very different experience.
So the magic part is where you say, "I've lost control."
Yeah. I think it ended up being that way. Yeah.
And that's what you hope to do in the future, right? You want to just let it become ineffable and just go where it takes you.
I believe in that very much, especially having written a novel once now. I think that is, as a writer, that is when I'm most engaged and completely surrendered to the process and to the story, and I think that that registers in the reading of it as well. At least I hope it does.
I think so. The book is The Tiger's Wife. Thea Obrecht wrote it. Did your grandfather know you were working on this? I know he's passed on.
He knew. He passed away a few days before my graduation from college. And he knew that I was on my way to Cornell and that I was going to study writing, of which he was very supportive. But the novel didn't start until after he died, the actual writing of it.
Well, I think it's a wonderful tribute to him. I'm sure that he would love it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. The book is The Tiger's Wife. Thea Obrecht wrote it, and it was just published by Random House, or it's just about to be published. By the time you hear this, it will be published. And she'll be out on book tour. That's got to be quite an adventure. You've never experienced it, but I've talked to a lot of people that have been on book tours, and that's really something to be out there and meet your public and to do all that traveling and jet-setting around, isn't it?
It sounds incredible, and I can't wait. It's just days away at this point, and it's very surreal. It's like coming up on a moment at which, you know, there's your life before the moment, and then there's your life after the moment. And I think that for me, it's just very exciting. It's been a long time coming. So.
You're starting off with 3 days in New York City, and then You're hitting some interesting places. You're going to Minneapolis, Austin, Seattle, and then Jackson, Mississippi, and Oxford, Mississippi. Those are a couple of great literary stops. Are you going to Lemuria Books?
I am. I actually am. There's a festival going on down there during the time that I'm there, so I'll be there for several days in that area. One of the things that's most exciting for me is that I'm going almost exclusively to places where I've previously never been. So it's just wonderful. I am so looking forward to. I've already met people in the bookselling community at several of the conferences which I attended earlier this year, and I'm so looking forward to seeing them again and the literary communities of the places where I'm going. I'm thrilled.
And I see you're closing in D.C., and that's got to be a stop at Politics and Prose.
It absolutely is. That's right.
Wow. Well, that's a great little tour. And congratulations. I hope you have fun on it.
Thank you so much. I'm sure I will. I really appreciate that.
The book is The Tiger's Wife. Thea Obrecht wrote it. And I'm not going to ask you about what you're working on. I'm not going there. So don't worry about it. I've heard about a lot of books in the past that just for whatever reason, they never came out the other end of the pipe. So I'm not saying that that's your book, but you know, some writers don't like to talk about what they're working on at all. So.
I agree that in certain phases, in certain early phases, it's a little dangerous too, because if you articulate it, it then somehow changes it, and then it becomes something else, and then you discard it, and so I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, it's the whole magic part. It's like, well, you just don't want to talk about it, right?
Right, I agree with that, yeah.
Okay. Well, we really appreciate you taking some time with us today on the program.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
The book is The Tiger's Wife by Thea Obrecht. It was just published by Random House, and she's getting ready to go out on book tour. And you graduated from Cornell, and you live in Ithaca. Is that home then?
It is. For now, I've never stayed in one place for very long, sort of throughout my whole life, so I suspect that relatively soon I'll be moving again.
Well, we'll be waiting for your next book.
Thank you very much.
My guest has been Thea Obrecht. Her book is The Tiger's Wife. The Tiger's Wife by Thea Obrecht is one of my favorite books that I've read in a long time. I'd like to read an excerpt just so you get a sense of how this woman writes. Quote, "If you go to Galena now, people will tell you different things about Luca's disappearance. In one version of the story, the village woodcutter, waking from a dream in which his wife has forgotten to put the pie in the oven and served it to him raw, looks through the window and sees Luca wandering down the road in his nightgown, a white scarf tying his chin to the rest of his head, so that the mouth will not fall open in death, his red butcher's apron slung over one shoulder. In that version, Luca's face is as loose as a puppet's, and there is a bright light in his eyes, the light of a journey beginning. The woodcutter stands with the window curtains flung open, his legs stiff with fear and lack of sleep, and he watches the butcher's slow advance through the snowdrifts that are running across the dead man's bare feet. Others will tell you about the baker's eldest daughter, who, getting up early to warm the ovens, opens the window to let the winter air in to cool her, and sees a grounded hawk sitting like something ancient on the fallen snow of her garden. The hawk's shoulders are dark with blood, and when it hears her open the window, it turns and looks at her with yellow eyes. She asks the hawk, 'Is all well with you, brother, or not?' And the hawk replies, 'Not,' and vanishes." Tune in next week for The Book Nook, when my guest will be Don Winslow. His new novel, Satori, is based on Trevanian's Shamumi. For The Book Nook, I'm Vic McCunis. The Book Nook is recorded at Soundspace in Yellow Springs and engineered by Chris Hertzler.